Continuing with Jonah's summer vacation. You remember when we left Jonah, he'd been on a Mediterranean cruise, and big wind came up, had a few problems, and Jonah got pitched over the side. So that's kind of where we pick up the story. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to read down through chapter 2, verse 10. This is the word of the Lord. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading of His Word. Well, it's kind of hard to see being swallowed by a giant fish as a good thing. But, as we read in the Word, the Lord provided the great fish. And so I wanted you to take just a moment this morning. We're going to start out by looking at God's provision for Jonah. God's provision for Jonah. What did God do? Well, first of all, I want you to remember where Jonah was. Spiritually, he was disobeying God's instruction, purposely, knowingly. Physically, he was running away from God. That's what he said. Experientially, what was he doing right there, right then? Treading water in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. That's where Jonah was. That's what Jonah was doing. Spiritually, disobeying. Physically, running. Experientially, treading water. That's where this story begins. The Lord provided a fish. Well, consider what God did. That's what it says. But the Lord provided a great fish. Okay? So not a whale. This was an ordinary fish. Might have been. Might have not have been an ordinary fish. This is what we know. The fish came on the scene by the arrangement or the appointment of the Lord. In other words, it doesn't matter whether God created some kind of a new fish that just had a Jonah space in it, or whether he took some fish that already existed and sent it to Jonah for this purpose. The point is, God did it. God did it. God intervened here in the life of Jonah. Now, why would God do that? It's got to be a good answer. Why did God do that? Well, the obvious reason is because he didn't want Jonah to drown. Remember, he was on a ship, been a storm, they pitched him over the side, sea grew calm. My assumption is the ship sailed away. Here's Jonah out in the water, treading water. How long can you tread water? Not forever. God didn't want Jonah to drown. See, because God loved Jonah. Jonah was God's man. He wasn't doing what God wanted him to do, but he was God's man. And God had a job for Jonah to do. And so this fish, it provided safe transportation for Jonah. He was kind of like God's little mini-sub that he sent in there to get Jonah and take him where he wanted him to go. All right? So that's why God did it. Now, what can we learn from that? This is a story that's told over and over and over again. It's in our little children's book. I'm sure, you know, Josh has got flannels over there to teach the kids all about Jonah. It's the story that's taught over and over and over again. So we're supposed to learn something from it, right? Well, what can we learn? First of all, God knows our situation. Jonah didn't manage to do what he set out to do. He didn't get away from God, did he? God knew where he was. He knew what he was doing. He knew why he was there. God knew all about it. 1 Peter 5:7, it says this: cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. All your worries, all your anxieties, all your troubles. You know, God knows all about it. God knows all about it. And he cares. You see, God was involved in this guy's life. Second thing you can learn from this is about the love of God. God loved Jonah. You know what? God loves you for the very same reasons. You know, I go back and look at that, and I think there wasn't a whole lot lovable about Jonah. And the further we get into the story, the more you'll see that that's the case. Jonah wasn't a guy that was easy to love. He was kind of self-centered. He was kind of stubborn. You know, even though he was God's man, he wasn't obeying God. I mean, if I'd been God, I'd probably just have kicked him over the side of the boat and been done with it, you see. But God's love is different from that. And for whatever reason God had to love Jonah and to set Jonah apart and to use him as a servant and as a spokesman and as a prophet, as an ambassador to the Assyrian Empire, whatever God's reasons were, he loves you for all those same reasons. That's something to remember. We can also learn that God is able to rescue his people. This shows us the power of God, doesn't it? Any one of us would say, that guy's had it. He's done for. There is no way he's getting anywhere from where he is right now. But God is able to use things we would never even think about. We would never even consider to be a possibility to save his people. He did it for Jonah. He's done it for others. He can do it for you. We also learn from this that God does things his own way. God does it the way he wants to do it. And God's purposes prevail. We can learn that. God's purposes prevail. You see, when we go back and we look at this story, the whole story, how does it start? The Word of God came to Jonah, and the Word of God was, Jonah, go to the great city Nineveh and preach to the people there. That's what God wanted him to do. That was God's purpose. That was God's plan. This story is more about the repentance of the people in Nineveh than it is about Jonah. God was doing something here. God was sending a message and a messenger to proclaim his truth. God's purposes will prevail. Now, something's going on here with Jonah. As you read through the story, something happens to Jonah. I mean, other than just being swallowed. Something begins to happen in Jonah's heart. Did you see it? Did you sense it as we're reading through the text there? Faith and obedience began to grow in Jonah. There are several steps that we're going to look at here. The first is that God motivates. God motivates. This is what Jonah said from inside the fish. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. You see, God often uses difficulty. God often uses stress. God often uses the pressures of life, events that are beyond our control, to get our attention and to force us to respond. Jonah was in a position where he didn't have a whole lot of control over what was going on. And he cries out to God, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. You know, sometimes my mom and dad used to say, now Keith, this is for your own good. You ever hear that from your parents? You ever say that to your kids? Now this is for your own good. And it pretty much always was. And it pretty much always was something I didn't like. You know, God kind of works with us that way. Sometimes he does things, He allows things that are hard. He allows things that are difficult to come into our lives. Stressful things. Things that cause us to be anxious and worry. But He does it to get our attention. You know, if everything goes right every day and you always have everything that you need or want, most of the time we call somebody that's like that spoiled. You know, it's hard for them to have a sense of reality if that's the case. Right? And those people don't seem to turn to God. It's in times of trouble that people turn to God. And so God uses those difficult times, those difficult circumstances, to kind of tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you need help? I'm the helper. I'm the one you need to call on. And people do call on God in those kinds of circumstances. And so it is for our own good. But listen, this is important. The same Lord who allows our difficulty also rescues us from all our trouble. There's a passage in Hosea. It's in chapter 6. And it says this. The people had gotten away from God. They were not honoring God. They were not serving God. And calamity started to come upon them. I mean, one thing after another started to happen. And this is what they said. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will restore us so that we may live in His presence. You see, that's God's objective, isn't it? God wants His people to have fellowship with Him. And when we're in disobedience, when we're operating in self-sufficiency, we're not going to have that kind of relationship with God that we need. And so God wants us to live in His presence. He wants to get us to the place where we desire to live in His presence. And if we got to go through a little heat to get there, then He's going to take us through the heat. So what happens here, God motivated Jonah a little bit. And so faith began to emerge. This is what Jonah says. He says, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Most important word in that verse is the word yet. Nevertheless is the word that it uses in the NASB. Nevertheless, I'm in a fish down under the water. That's where I am. This is what I've been doing. I know all about that. Nevertheless, I will look again on your holy temple. He begins to have hope. There's a faith that begins to emerge here. I gave you a place in your outline there to write down a statement, and I want you to fill in the blanks there. And it's about this word, yet or nevertheless. It is in the realm of nevertheless, beyond the comfort zone, and outside the boundaries of convenience, that faith works most and works best. You see, it's when we get to that place where we're at the end of our rope, we've done everything that we know to do, probably more than we should have done, and there's no way out, when we can say, nevertheless, I trust God. I know God is going to bring me through. That's when faith emerges. You see? And that's where Jonah was. Jonah is beginning to be able to see past the present situation to the blessing that's beyond. And we can use Jonah as an example. Sometimes we're in the midst of difficulties, and we need to be able to look through the difficulties to the blessing that's on the other side. We have such a tendency to focus on the problem. But when God solves the problem, what's that going to look like? As I was thinking about that, it made me think of Jesus. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, with the cross before him, Jesus could see joy. Jesus could see blessing. Jesus could see restoration to his place at the right hand of the Father. And so he went through the cross to get there and to save us. It's so easy for us to just focus on the cross, and we miss the blessing beyond. So faith was emerging. Faith began to rise up in Jonah. And along with it came praise. God motivates, faith emerges, praise arises. He says, "But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." From inside the fish, praise arose. Jonah's still in the fish, isn't he? He's operating now in the realm of faith, isn't he? He doesn't know what God's going to do, but he knows that God has saved him to this point. God has preserved him to this point. And so he begins to praise, begins to thank God. Sometimes we have to praise God while the storm's still raging. But even there in the midst of the storm, God is God. And God is faithful. And God is real. And God is able. And we got to remember that. You see, Jonah was down, but he wasn't out because God had a purpose for Jonah. And then wisdom guides. He starts to get smart. He begins to wise up. And he says, "What I promised, I'll do it." Now that's some wisdom. He learned something, didn't he? "What I have vowed, I will make good." Jonah was beginning to understand God's determination. God was not going to let him out without doing what he asked him to do. And he was beginning to understand God's ability to save. Jonah was beginning to comprehend the need for obedience to the calling of God. There's another thing that he says in the midst of all this that I found interesting. I call it a stark truth, something that just sort of stood out. Kind of not in the context of the story. I mean, if this verse were not in there, we never would have known something was missing. But he says, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." Idols can't love. Idols can't save. Idols can't do anything but collect dust, right? And deceive people. Yet, you know, many people worship false gods. I've talked about this before. There's an insidious idol that I call the idol of man praise. People do things to please other people instead of to please God. And that's so insidious. You know, that's the sort of thing that just comes up when you're not even aware of it. And yet people live their lives, they give their lives to the idol of man praise. And they miss out on the blessing of the true and living God by doing it. The ugliest God, the ugliest false God is self. But he's got it right. He says, idols are worthless. Idols are worthless. But see, God is gracious. God does love. God can save. And that's exactly what he did. Because Jonah was saved. Jonah should have drowned in the middle of the sea, but Jonah was saved. In verse 10, it says this, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." It said spit in the kid's book. That probably wasn't a pretty sight, was it? Or smell, or anything else. But the key is, it wasn't in the middle of the ocean. It was back on dry land. See, what God did here is God intervened and took Jonah back to the point of his failure. He got him back to where he made his mistake. And he gave him a second chance. You know, God is a God of second chances and sometimes third chances and fourth chances. And we're going to talk about this next week a lot. What God did for Jonah and why He did it. He got him back where he started from. You know, Jonah just totally flat out disobeyed, ignored God. And God took him back to the place where he did that and gave him the same instruction again. He says, okay, Jonah, we're going to try this again and see if we can get a different outcome. But the thing that I see about that is he got Jonah back to the same place, but Jonah wasn't the same. Jonah learned some things, and we can learn about that too. Something that we can draw from this, that Jonah's failure, his lack of faithfulness, his lack of obedience, might as well call it what it is, Jonah's sin did not disqualify him to fulfill the calling of God. It didn't disqualify him for service in the kingdom. God brought him back, set him back on the path, and got him going again. You see, the calling of God doesn't just go away. And this is the shocker. This is the thing that I think is maybe most important in this whole story. Understanding this. And that is that God knew when He called Jonah the first time exactly how this story was going to play out. You see, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah and He said, Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach to that wicked city. He knew exactly what Jonah was going to do. You know, sometimes we do that, don't we? Like we've all been in places we shouldn't be, doing things we don't need to be doing. Right? We've all been there. And sometimes we think, man, I just blew the whole deal. There's no way that God's going to forgive me for this. But you see, the story of Jonah ought to give us some hope. You didn't surprise God with whatever you did, wherever you went. Whatever you did when you got there, you didn't surprise God. He knew when He called you that that was going to happen. But He'll use that experience to make you more able to fulfill your calling. I can tell you with certainty that God has a purpose for every single one of you. And I ask you, has it been ignored? Has that purpose been put on the back burner? I think it's time to pick it up and move forward with that calling? Because if it is, this can be the day to do it. This can be the day to get back on track. This could be the day to get puked up on the beach. Just turn to God and ask Him. And He'll put you back where you need to be. Get you back on the path so you can fulfill your divine purpose. Lord, we come to You. We come to the God of grace, the God of mercy, a God of power and ability and strength and wisdom. We come to You, Lord, and we lay ourselves before You. Lord, we offer ourselves to You as living sacrifices, Lord, that You might fulfill Your purpose in us. Lord, if it's to the great city of Nineveh that You would have us go, Lord, we'll go. If it's to our neighbor, we'll go there too. But whatever it is that You would have us do, Lord, renew, restore that calling in our lives, Lord, that we might fulfill it, we might live it out, that we might see the fruit and the blessing that comes as a result. Lord, we're often foolish in the things that we do. But we know, Lord, that when we go to Your Word, we're going to that fount of wisdom that'll make us wise. Or teach each one of us to look at this common, simple, familiar story and draw from it the truth that we need to see today. Lord, so we can be in the right place for You. We give You thanks, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.